cellar dwellers got the energy, yeah. You can subscribe to our vibe. Cellar dwellers got the energy, yeah. You can subscribe to our vibe.
Dweller Talk with the freaker from your speaker, Go-Go McSprinkles.
Hello, my lovely dwellers. Welcome to another episode of podcast. Yeah. Welcome to another episode of Dweller Talk, the podcast where we talk about all things Keller Williams and his music. So, just a heads up, don't forget, this Friday, the 4th, is the new Grit album. So it comes out on digital download wherever you buy your music digitally. This week's interview is with Wendy Klein Cardwell. We had a great chat, learned some cool stuff about her, and I think we should make a movie about her life. I think her stories are pretty epic. Even though we talked a lot about music, I have to apologize. There aren't a lot of clips that I could find that fit her stories very well. So there's not a lot of music clips in this one. I tried really hard. I scoured archive to try to find some of these shows that she mentioned, but just didn't have any luck. So I moved on, but it feels unfulfilling to not have a sound clip for every show that gets referenced. So please enjoy. Okay, so let me pull up my notes and we'll just have a little chat about Keller.
Woo! Sounds like a fun time.
All right, sounds good. All right, so I guess first I should introduce you. I'm here with the lovely Wendy Klein. Well, technically, I guess you're Wendy Klein Caldwell, right? But we knew you in the cellar. Wendy
Yeah,
Klein.
But that was before Jerry and I got married. So I guess my screen name was Wendy Klein. But then, you know, later on, I had to add the Cardwell to it. So
yeah, that's pretty exciting. So let's get to know you as a person here. Let's start with learning about who you are right now. So what kind of stuff are you into besides Keller? Clearly.
Well, we live way out in the mountains in Virginia. So most of the time, whenever we're doing stuff, we like to go camping. we play and we go tubing a lot in our rivers. So we're like outside people. We got the dog, you know, we're just basically chilling outside.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's nice. You know, we have a bunch of campfires and, you know, roasted marshmallows. Pretty fun.
And some good music, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, what was your life like before you started listening to Keller's music? Like, up until the moment you found Keller, what were you jamming to?
Well, I'm a deadhead. And... See, like before Keller and I are about the same age. So I'm 50, he's 51. So we would have went to school. I mean, so like before Keller, I guess was high school for me. I was like, I grew up in West Virginia. He's from Virginia. So there's no possible way that, cause we're both deadheads, that we couldn't have gone to the same shows. I mean, I never saw them or any of that, but I know in my mind, I mean, there was hundreds of thousands of people there. So, I mean, there's a possibility.
Yeah.
At least a spark of possibility.
Oh, what a great concept. Like the fact that you guys could have been jamming at the same time.
Yeah.
Same place. Oh, yeah. Same music. Damn.
You absolutely never know. I mean,
yeah.
That random, and there was a lot of like the early 90s. Wow. Pretty sketchy. But there was a lot of randomness, you know? And so you could have easily been staying in the same campground. That guy that you were listening to in the campground while you were trying to sleep, it could have been him, you know?
Wow.
You know, you never know.
That's awesome. Oh my God. Well, I hope that someday you find out that you guys were at the same show or at the same campground. Maybe you were sitting around the same fire some night.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be able to verify that. Oh,
it would just be nice. I mean, it's just kind of fun to say, oh, what if, you know?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So do you remember the specific moment when you first heard Keller? What was that like?
I remember because I'm huge Larry Kill and Jenny Kill fans. Huh? And because with Keller was always a Kill, especially because they played like lots of little places around here, parks and bars. And, you know, they're all from Virginia, all in this Appalachian. They're all bluegrass and flat picking, and they all get together a lot of times and just, you know, start playing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the first time that I can really actually remember was probably around like 2001, 2000, something like that. And it was like at a Recipe Family Cookout. It was at a farm up in the mountains in West Virginia. Oh, and Keller and the Kills were playing there with like a couple other people that I know that Donna the Buffalo played. And I didn't even know who Donna the Buffalo was back then. I just saw it on a paper, like a little, like a, you know, a folded piece of, you know, paper that I saw. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't even know. I didn't even know who they are. And they're actually a quite successful, great band. And, you know, and and they played there and I didn't even have a clue.
Wow.
That's probably my earliest experience.
Wow, that's great. Oh my God. So did you see him more often with the Kills in the beginning? Like you said, he was kind of associated with them. So that was how you really got into him?
Yeah. I associated them together. I didn't see them individually as much until later on. And then I saw like Larry and Jenny, you know, like whenever they would come around and play. And then like maybe 6 months later, it was like Keller would come around and play. You know, we didn't go to as many concerts. I don't think there was as many concerts and stuff then as there are now. I mean, there's like a plethora. I mean, every time you turn around, they have a new festival. I mean, crazy amounts. And that's more recent. Like back in the day, there wasn't really that many. Mm-hmm. Like we went to festivals and stuff, but there wasn't like 100 of them a year. They were like four, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a crazy idea. Like I've never given it much thought, but it's kind of nice that there's a plethora of them because you really get your choice. It's like, well, eeny, meeny, miny festival.
Oh, yeah. And they're all like great lineups. And if you don't like it, you can be so choosy nowadays. And it's kind of made me a little bit snobby because now I'm like, okay, I have just this amount of money and all I want is perfection. And I'm like,
Oh, I see. That's an interesting perspective.
I mean, there's so many wonderful little festivals that have popped up that's really got to showcase a lot of smaller bands that really got overshadowed by, you know, bands that get the better sets, the better times. And now there's so many like little smaller groups, and it's really given people a chance to really shine. And that's great. I think it does that a lot around here. And that really makes it pretty exciting because I always feel like I get to hear new music.
Oh, that would be kind of nice to be like kind of on the end to see it coming and be like, oh yeah, I remember hearing about them.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Can you think of any bands that were from that area that have now become more famous? Like, do you have any examples? If not, that's okay.
No, I really, honestly, I really can't think of anything that comes to mind.
I think it's kind of fascinating, like the idea of getting to see the evolution of other people's music. I like that idea.
Yeah, there's a great circuit. There's a lot of people that play around, especially in this area, because bluegrass is becoming quite popular. And thank you, Billy Strings, for that, because he really put it mainstream and he really made it fun again for people. And they don't think it like it's grandpa's music anymore. And so we see a lot of that around here.
I see. I didn't know when bluegrass came back. Like I kind of fell into it late. So it was like, oh, I didn't know we really like this. This is pretty cool. I didn't know that's how it
is. It's pretty jamming. Like this past Floyd Fest, Billy Strings played the day before Keller and the Kills, because it was 4 or 5 nights, but Billy Strings played before and Keller and the Keels played the next day. And you cannot tell me that that bluegrass isn't fun.
Don't you ever cuss that fiddle boy unless you want that fiddle out too. And figure there's a trouble boy, nothing but another side of you.
Because the place was packed. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So it definitely is coming back around and people are getting a good taste of it. Thank goodness.
Yeah. It's refreshing.
Uh-huh.
Fun, and everybody likes it and everybody's happy. And it's just a good time. I love it.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So how did COVID affect you personally for your life?
Well, I'm a chef. So, people couldn't come and eat. It pretty much closed our restaurant down. Yeah. And it never recovered.
Really? Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. But I mean, that happened to many, many businesses. It's impossible to think that people can pay rent for, you know, a whole year without having anybody contribute to their income. So it was really pretty devastating for quite a few businesses that were mom and pop. You know, the unfortunate part about it is the business that I was working for didn't have that kind of bankroll. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, they had a good run of, you know, 30 years, but you know, they called it quits and went about their day. But, you know, but that's many businesses stories.
Yeah.
So,
unfortunately, that's
yeah.
Lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you still chefing? Like, do you have a chef job now?
Well, right now, that Virginia has gone legal, I have been starting up a legal cannabis. I'm making edibles.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to be able to get a store up. There's a lot of stuff that you have to go through to be able to package. They have to be tested. And so I'm in the process of trying to get edibles. So I'm in that business, I guess.
That is amazing. That makes me so happy.
Well, because I have to test and because there's lots of things that I don't know, because I have vegetarians and vegans that come to me and say, can you make a vegan gummy? Well, and then I'm like, well, I have no idea, because I thought that gelatin was like bone marrow.
Yeah.
So, well, that right there, it's not vegetarian. So there's so they're like throwing tricks at me, and I'm not Bill Nye the Science Guy by any means. So I have to test, and that's kind of fun. I get to eat my mistakes.
I can see the appeal there. That's amazing. Yeah. I think you have the perfect job.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So would you have pursued that as an endeavor if you hadn't have lost the chef position?
You know what? I probably wouldn't, because it was the push I needed to be able to work for myself, because I've worked for so many people. I mean, I graduated in 93 from culinary school. So I've been working for 25, 30 years for somebody else. And it's nice to be able to say, okay, I'm not going to make $1 million, but I just want to be able to be comfortable and happy and enjoy what I'm doing. So I'm in a position to where I get the trimmings from where Jerry works at a CBD farm. So I can do CBD as well as THC. So I can do both.
Wow.
So for people that don't have a legal state, I can ship them the CBD.
Really?
Yes. But that's where I'm trying to get. That's the game plan. That's the business plan. But hopefully we're moving in the right direction.
Nice. I really love that. I wish you good luck, because that sounds amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very impressed. That's pretty cool. I love that story. Okay. Okay. Get back on track here.
Okay.
Do you remember the first time you heard of the cellar?
Yes. I think it was probably, it was in April.
Mm-hmm.
And I really can't remember. I was somewhere. My friend was on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe she said, oh, look, cool. What is this? it wasn't a magical moment. But I was just like, you kind of squint your eyes and you're like, what? You know, what are you talking about? You know? And then I think I watched it at her house. We got back in our car and I drove home. And I think I actually signed in and got an account by 4:20 or something.
Granny want to smoke some, granny want to smoke some, granny want to smoke some marijuana. Granny want to smoke some, granny want to smoke some.
And I was there because we were home. We were there pretty much at all the shows. Well, me and Cooper, at least, me and my little buddy, we saw all the shows.
Pretty awesome. Has Jerry been a Keller fan the whole time with you? Like, you guys always jam with?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of like what started us is we started talking because we were very musically similar. We were campy. He was playing disc golf. I wasn't really into disc golf. I was just into outside walking with my dog. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just kind of happened. And that's kind of what drew us together because he was playing, because when he plays disc golf, he has a speaker attached to his bag and it's playing mm-hmm. music. And I heard String Cheese. And I mean, I was like, hey, I hear cheese. When you hear cheese in the woods, you follow, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah. You just do. And, you know, exactly. And then and you can tell it was like on a Pandora station or something, because I think like, right after that, it like went into like, you know, coconuts. It was a panic, you know, and I was like, all right, you know, I've got to figure out where this is coming from. And, you know, but then Cooper, you know, because he was chasing his disc and found him. So and then that's how we started talking. And then like Keller was the next song, you know, I mean, it was just pretty much like the backdrop of our whole like little beginning.
yeah. That's amazing. Your life is like some kind of crazy storybook. It's so magical.
It's beautiful. It's
That's so great. Alrighty. So do you happen to have a favorite cellar moment?
Well, I am obsessed with Hey Ho Jorge.
Mm.
Wendy Klein and Jerry Caldwell Jr. wanted to hear this one. I think some of them been asking for some time. I don't know if I've ever done it solo. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I said, hey ho, Jorge.
Every time I, you know, because you kind of like went into the room early and kind of was like, it'd be really nice if you could play this, you know, please and thank you. And he did it for me like two or three times in a row. And every single time that he would say, I mean, my name and start playing that song, those were my favorite moments. Aww. It's only because it just made me feel that extra special. Like, yeah. He makes all of us feel, because that's why we're attracted to his spirit, is because he goes that extra mile to make us all feel all warm and fuzzy.
Aww.
You know, I mean, he's like my big brother, you know, and it's like, oh, you just kind of want to give him big hugs.
Yeah, it's so magical and so happy. I just love it so much. Oh, my God. I'm glad you got your Hey Ho Jorge's. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, I mean, it's just how it is. I get stuck on a song, but then it's like in 6 months later, I mean, ask me again, it'll probably be something else. But that's how I can say, you know, that's my favorite, because I know that, you know, I'm a girl, I can change my mind, and and now I want to, you know, have a different tune. I can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like to think of it as I'm just obsessing over it, over each song one at a time, so I can get to know it really well. And then I move on. You can only obsess over one song because you have to absorb everything about that song. You can absorb the other songs. You're just doing it one at a time. That's what I tell myself.
Yep. in my own crazy speed.
Exactly. Okay. So have you met Keller in real life?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I was there for one of them.
Yes. Actually, we've probably one of my favorite memories of all time. And this was probably 3-4 years ago in Fayetteville, West Virginia, where they have Mountain Music Fest. They have this little pub and stage that's connected. Mm-hmm. And Larry Keel was playing one night, and the next night was Keller. So it was like in the fall. So we were like camping around through there, and they were free shows. Free shows. Can you believe that? Free.
Damn. Yeah.
So we went in a little bit early. Jerry and I, we were going to grab a bite to eat. So they had a fire going in a couch. Mm-hmm. And right beside us was an out-of-tune piano. and we just turned and looked, and Keller sat down. And he gave his order to the waitress and then started to play Terrapin Station on this horribly out-of-tune piano. And it was kind of funny because he was even laughing. He was like, wow, I mean, the piano seriously was out of tune, but it was funny because he just sang louder. So for that split second, Jerry and I were sitting there, you know, all gushy eyed, like little fan kids in front of the fire, being serenaded by Keller, being like Terrapin Station, Be Still My Beating Heart. You can play dead songs to me all day long. And it's just, and, you know, we didn't want to overstep, you know, but we said hello, and, you know, he was very nice. He got his food and stuff, and let the man eat, you know, he's hungry. You know, but that was like a real personal moment from out of the blue.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've met him after a couple events at Mountain Stage in Charleston, West Virginia. They always come over to the Empty Glass, which is a little bar, and they would come over and play after the shows. And they would be able to talk one-on-one because they're real personable. I mean, he'll come and talk to anybody as long as you're respectful and kind, then so is he, you know? I mean, he's always been more than generous with his time, I believe.
Oh, he's a knight in shining armor. He tolerates all of our crap.
I love him. Absolutely. I mean, he really does. And it's, well, because we love him, and I think he just is very grateful and thankful person, and so are we. And I think that's a good thing.
Yes. I think the love is given and received. I don't know where I'm going with that. Never mind. Moving on. Alrighty. So those are actually all the questions I have. So do you have any other great Keller stories you wanted to share with us?
I can say that I cannot find where I wrote this down or I had a ticket stub. So that's why this story is going to be awesome, because I didn't even make it home with the ticket stub, but I can, what I can tell you is where I was and what was going on. And then hopefully somebody can get back with me. I was like, duh, Wendy, it was this year. Okay. So that's what I'm going to hope for. All right. So we were at Nelson's Ledges Quarry Park. And DSO was playing, Dark Star Orchestra was playing. It was like their event. And Donna Jean Godchild was playing, because I remember, because I'm not a Donna Jean fan. And I kind of, you know, but anyway, and Keller played, and it's, and they have a beach, and I do believe it was like around like July 4th, but I couldn't tell you what year. That's about it. That's all the farther I can go. But probably I can honestly say that that was one of the best sets because John Kay was playing with Keller back then because he was still in DSO. And that show is phenomenal because John Kay played with Grateful Grass those two times that he played in Goochland, that one that you went to and the one before. I think that, you know, Floridian, like Luther and Holly, and I think Turtle and Claire and myself were there at the first ones. And then you guys came at the second Goochland ones.
Yes, the big one. Yeah. The second one. Yeah. So he was. Well, I'm sorry. I think you cut out. What did you say?
Oh no! Go ahead. What? Where did you leave off?
I don't remember.
All right. Yeah. Right on.
I was taking notes. I was writing some notes down about looking up songs, and I lost myself. Whoops.
Oh, it happens to me all the time.
Okay.
We'll just cut through that.
We'll just move on. Yes. So we were talking about your great moment, your epic show.
Oh yeah.
Dark Star.
Oh yeah. That was just, well, he played, John Kay played in Grateful Grass.
Yeah, with, that's what we were talking about. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, with Keller, those two Goochland shows. That's where we were.
Okay. We got there. We made it.
Yeah. And that was like so many years after, because I know that this had to have been somewhere in the early 2000s. It just had to have been. So that's pretty cool that they had played back then, and they were playing, you know, recently, last year, I think, is when we saw them. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great memory. So sounds like you've got a lot of awesome memories and lots more to come though, right? You're going to be coming to more shows.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're going to be at B Chord.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
It's going to be so fun.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I'm super excited.
I'm a little nervous because I'm going to have to leave Saturday after the show to go be the Easter Bunny. Like, Sunday's Easter, and I don't want to miss being the Easter Bunny.
So, oh, yes. Yes, you have littles. It's perfectly understandable.
Yes, like, I hate leaving on a Saturday night when everybody's gathered in Virginia, but my kids aren't going to want the Easter Bunny to come forever. So I'm trying to have my cake and eat it too.
I understand completely.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. Oh my God. It's kind of what's getting me through this dull, boring winter is knowing that we've got some good shows coming up.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. Heck yeah.
It's going to be a good summer and spring. Spring and summer. Yeah. Spring films first. So my dear, I think I've got a good episode here. I think you have a lot of great stories, and I'm really excited to get this posted.
Oh, thank you. Awesome.
Okay. I'm so glad we figured this out. I'm glad that you weren't scared to get on Discord and try chatting.
Well, I mean, I'm not super technical. I'm kind of like, you know, more of a wallflower. I'm not a crazy chatter, you know, but, you know, I kind of... I was like, that's okay. Open up a little bit. Okay.
I appreciate your open-mindedness, and I'm glad that this worked out because I had a lot of fun chatting with you here this evening.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. I had a great time too.
Thanks. All right. You have a good night.
Okay. Good night.
Bye. Okay, so for today's random Keller jam, I was trying to find I found the one concert that she was referring to, the Nelson's Ledges Quarry Park. It is from, here's the date, Wendy, 8/21/2005. And while I was trying to find a clip to put in the episode, I stumbled across Slow Mo Balloon, which I'm going to use for the random Keller jam. And I know he played it in the cellar once. And I believe it's on the Dream album, too. And he sings it with a woman, Charlie Hunter, I believe. And I don't really dig that version, but I did like this version. It's an interesting version. I was very excited to share it with you guys because it was random and fun. Alrighty, guys. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to go smoke some pot and do some cardio kickboxing. Peace, love, and K-Dub.
Younger and unleashed, surely would have flew up to the top of the sky. For certain would have exploded, survived the rationale. Now it lives to tell silent tales of a simple time. An interesting face in the life of a balloon. Didn't really go with the flow. Drifting in the draft. Oh, shook the passerby. Shook the slow-mo balloon. It refuses to die.
Slow-mo balloon, it refuses to die.